With that, let's go to our scripture reading here today. We are going Old Testament today. We are going back to the book of Jeremiah. Old Testament. Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the four major prophets. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. We are going to Jeremiah today, chapter 23. And we're just going to read two verses, and then we'll go from there. Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Actually, I should be reading the entire chapter, but that was a lot of reading. I'm just going to condense it into the first two verses, and then we'll just kind of go from there throughout the message. Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These two verses, God's word says this. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray a blessing over these two verses. And may we all learn a lot from what happened many years ago, back in the time of Jeremiah. And know this, Lord, that we all need to understand that you have not changed. You are the same yesterday, as today, as you will be tomorrow. We give you the praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I keep on forgetting to do that. I had this. There's the scripture verse right there. Like I said, I should have really read the entire chapter because we're going to be looking at a lot of the verses in this chapter today. But today's message I have titled, Woe to the Shepherds. Those are the first four words of the 23rd chapter of this book of Jeremiah. I grew up on a dead-end street in the 50s and 60s in the midst of the baby boomer generation in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. At that time, there were kids everywhere. And when the children in the neighborhood misbehaved, my father, he had concern for all of our actions. But there were five children in particular whose actions he had more concern about than anybody else. And who were those five children? His own. My father was far more concerned about the actions of his own children than the actions of the other riffraff in the neighborhood. Trust me, we had riffraff in the neighborhood. And I bet your parents were the same way too. And if you are a parent, you think the same way too. Children are a reflection of their parents. And as parents, we want them to think right, we want them to speak right, and we want them to act right. God is no different. No different whatsoever. He has those that he calls his own. From the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, it's the church. God is more concerned about the thoughts, the words, and the actions of his own children than those outside his own family. And to keep his children, his own, on the straight and narrow, there are those who are in the position of proclaiming his word, the word of God, to the people of God. In the Old Testament, they were called prophets. In the New Testament, they're called preachers and pastors. They have a task to do in the name of the Lord. They are to be shepherds of the flock. They are to proclaim the truth of the Word of God to lead the people of God into green pastures. Why? Because the truth matters. And they better meet, the people who are in these positions, they better meet the qualifications of that position, and they better do it right. There are consequences for failure. Unfortunately, as we all know, there are too many who fail in this position. They are not qualified to speak for the Lord. And when they speak, they fail to proclaim the truth or fail to proclaim the full counsel of God. They are not true shepherds. As Jesus says in John chapter 10, they are merely hired hands. And when the wolves come, they run away. Over the past 4 weeks, we have been talking about how the United States of America has become a substitute society because we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Therefore, I believe God has reached his breaking point and he's removing his restraining grace to allow us to go our own way. And I'm convinced that it's important to look at biblical history to show all of us that when a people that God has called to be his own, in this case Israel, when they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and when they become a substitute society like Israel did many years ago, God will reach his breaking point and he will unleash his wrath upon that nation or those people. So let's talk about some of the basics here this morning. We got two fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin. Let's go to the first one. Number one, the first fill-in-the-blank. Not all Israel is Israel. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, actually, that's a quote from Romans chapter 9, verse 6b. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. I think we all know where I'm going with this. Even within the nation Israel, there were those who were genuine and there were those who were fakes. There were those who had faith in God and there were those who didn't. Even though that they were descendants of Israel, they were descendants of the 12 tribes, descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they really did not have the faith in God like some others did. So there were genuine followers of God who were the nation Israel. And there were the fakes, those who just thought that they were going to get by because of their lineage. They claimed that they were Abraham's children. It says this in John chapter 8. That's what the people were telling Jesus in John chapter 8. We are Abraham's children. And then what does Jesus say? Well, if you were Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. John chapter 8, verses 39 and 40. So even within the nation Israel, you got genuine believers and you got unbelievers. Just like we got in the church today, and I'll cover that next week. But it's as if God is saying is this. If you say that you are Israel, then here's how you need to think. Here's how you need to speak, and here's how you need to act. And here's what you must believe. Why? Because the nation Israel represented God. So was this happening back in the times of Jeremiah? Well, let's look, and let's take a closer look at this 23rd chapter of Jeremiah and see what God said about the prophets, those who were supposed to be shepherds to God's people. Okay, In the Old Testament, God had requirements and expectations of the prophets of the people, of the prophets, excuse me, and the people. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 20, I have it up here on the screen, says this: I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, little g, that prophet shall die. Oh my goodness. That prophet shall die. So let's take apart these verses right here, and let's ask a few simple questions, and let's come up with some really good answers. Number one, who raises up the prophets? The first couple words of that verse: I will raise up a prophet. God raises up the prophets. Prophets were not self-appointed, okay? Remember a lot that we're going to talk about here today, because we will talk about it again next week when we talk about the church. Prophets were not self-appointed. They were raised up by God himself. Next question: what shall the prophet speak? God says this: I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So what are they to speak? Whatever God tells them to speak. Next question: should the hearer, those who are listening to this, should they heed the words of the prophet? Oh boy, now what did I do? Should they heed the words of the prophet? Whoever will not listen to my words, I myself will require it of him. Yes, the prophets were required to speak what the Lord told them to speak, but it was also up to the people to hear what the prophets were saying. And God makes it pretty clear: I will require it of him that those that need to listen to my words. Next question: are there prophets who are not authorized by God who do not speak the words of God? Well, of course there are, in that same verse. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods. So there you go. We know right up front that what's written here in Deuteronomy 18, God already knows that there are going to be those who do not speak, who claim they are speaking in the name of God, who are not speaking what God wants them to say. Next question: is there a penalty for falsely speaking for God? I love these last four words: that prophet shall die. God had no problem with the death penalty. Okay? He had no problem with capital punishment. If someone's going to speak in my name, they better speak it right, and they better speak what I tell them to speak, or else take them out back and shoot them. Maybe they didn't have guns, but stone them. Should the people question the words of the prophet? Now we're going to move on. The next two verses, Deuteronomy 18, 21, 22. Should they question the words of the prophet? And the answer to that is yes. You question that. Because you may say in your heart, how will we know the word with which the Lord has not spoken? How can we know that this person who's up there, how do we know if they're speaking the right things or not? Okay? So yeah, it's a valid question. God knows they're already going to ask that question. So yes, and he answers that. So how will the people know if what the prophet says is true or not? God gives the answer. If the thing that does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Okay? We saw that word back in the other verse, presumptuously. Okay? He has spoken out of turn. Okay? And there's another place. So God's laying this whole thing out for the people who are supposed to speak for the word of God. And we're talking Old Testament. Again, we'll make the comparison to the church next week. Now, there's another place. It's in Deuteronomy 13 that speaks about prophets. And I'm going to put those verses up there. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. And it says this. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or a wonder comes true concerning which he has spoken to you, saying, let's go after other gods, little g, okay, anytime it's a little g, it's not the right god. Let's go after other gods, whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. You shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. It looks like they were being tested. There were false prophets out there, and the people were being tested. Is this what I should be listening to or not? And God pretty much says, you need to have, what's the one word that I'm looking for? You need to have the gift of what? Discernment. Thank you. You need to have discernment. You need to figure out if what these guys are saying is true or is not true. Because you need to decide what God you want to serve. Do you want to serve the true God? Or do you want to serve the God that the prophets are telling you to follow? What becomes of a false prophet who leads others to false gods? Deuteronomy 13, 5. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. Last line, you shall purge the evil from among you. That's why you take them out back and shoot them, because you need to purge the evil from among you. It's very simple. You can't have false prophets in your midst. Well, that's the background of the Old Testament prophets. We know that there's rules set up, laws set up. God's already spoken them. Here's what you do. Here's the false prophets. Here's the good prophets. Here's how you need to listen. This is what you need to do. Now, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to pick out a few verses, and we're going to talk about how God responded to Old Testament false prophets. First, a little background. Let's talk about this guy Jeremiah here a little bit. Who was Jeremiah? I could put like 1,000 things up here. I only put 3 of them up here. The first one. He was called to be a prophet before he was in his mother's womb. Okay? If you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, if you don't believe in election, well, let me tell you what. He was called to be a prophet before this guy was ever born. It was not a decision of his own. Number 2, he was a prophet to God's nation of Israel for over 50 years, from around 627 BC through 570 BC. And number 3, he prophesied the fall and exile of Judah, which was the southern kingdom, which occurred in 586 BC. So, and we can read about that in 2 Kings chapters 22 through 25. So that's a little background on Jeremiah. And we know this. So let's combine everything we've learned here so far. We know this. God is concerned about his people, the nation Israel. And it's up to the shepherds to tend the sheep and do that properly. But as I said earlier, not everyone is qualified to be a shepherd. And many who claim to be shepherds, they're propagating lies and they're propagating false gods. And in this 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, the Lord commands Jeremiah, who is a true prophet called by God, to rebuke the false prophets. So let's look at our second fill in the blank, and we're going to actually go back to verses 1 and 2 of Jeremiah. Our next fill in the blank says this: shepherds who scatter the sheep of God by not attending to them, God says this, they perform an evil deed. Therefore, God will attend to those who do not attend to God's sheep. A position I don't want to be in, but God will attend to those. What does it say? Therefore, thus saith the Lord the God concerning the shepherds, they are scattering my flock, they're not attending to them, and I'm about to attend to you because why? Of your evil deeds. That is not a good place to be. God set it down. Jeremiah is warning these false prophets, and God will attend to those who are not attending to the sheep. And we just read the qualifications of the prophet, and we know that these prophets now, by this time, are not real prophets. So, by the time of Jeremiah, these laws are not being followed, nor are they being enforced. Verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11 of Jeremiah 23 says this: for the land is full of adulterers, for the land mourns because of the curse. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up, their course also is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are polluted. Even in my house I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord. So what do we have now? We have priests and prophets. For both priests and prophets are polluted. The priests were the ones who were supposed to enforce the laws. They were the ones who enforced the laws that were spoken by the prophets. But when the priests are corrupt and polluted, the false prophets can now say whatever the false prophets want to say. It's like these two are in cahoots with each other. Not that we see that in our American society today at all. That's next week. We'll talk about that, or even in the church. But the prophets could preach false things because the priests never held them. What's the A word? Accountable. Very good. Very good. So what happens? More questions. What happens when the prophets and priests fail to be shepherds of God's people? The land is full of adulterers. It says that. The land becomes full of adulterers. It's not so much the actual sin of adultery as we know it, but adulterers means anybody who's chasing and following false idols, false gods. The people were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. So what happens, next logical question, what happens when the people become adulterers and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Here we go. The land, number one, the land mourns. Number two, the pastures of the wilderness dry up, and their might is not right. God removes his hand of provision, and he removes his restraining grace. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does, Mike, because we talked about that last week. When the people start doing evil, God removes his restraining grace. Leviticus 26, I talked about this earlier. God lays out blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. The blessings are found in verses 1 through 13, and the curses are found in 14 through 39. And the curses that you see here in Jeremiah, what's happening to the people now, the nation of Israel, are a direct result of the curses that are outlined in Leviticus chapter 26 due to the disobedience of the people because they failed to follow the ways of the Lord. God warned them. God warned them. Blessings when you're obedient, curses when you're disobedient. So let's move on to verse 14. Just one verse. Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing: the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. The prophets The ones who are supposedly speaking the words of the Lord are actually encouraging the people to do evil. And what happens in response? No one turns away from evil. It'd be like me standing in front of this church right now and saying, hey, if you want to steal, go steal. If you want to say lies. Go gossip all you want. And you know that other person that you have this affection for? Forget about your spouse for an evening and go do what you want to do. Does that sound like something I should be saying to this church? Don't think so. But that's what the prophets were saying. Encouraging the people to do evil. Because no one wants to turn away from evil, because people love their sin. People love their sin. And all the people need is for someone in a religious authoritative position of some sort to tell them that something that is wrong is now right. That's all they were looking for. And boy, when the prophets tell me that it's okay to do evil, I love that, because that's what my sinful nature wants to do. And we all know this. What was the sin of Sodom? All of them have become to me like Sodom, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. What was the sin of Sodom? This isn't a trick question. It's very obvious. I believe everybody in here knows it. Let me clue you in. It was not the lack of hospitality, as the LGBTQ movement would want to shove down your throat. Okay? It was the perverse sin of homosexuality. I think we all know that. We can go back and read it. Genesis 18 and 19. We don't see this in America today now, do we? Jeremiah 23:21. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. In other words, they were not on their own. They were self-appointed. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. They were not on their own, and they spoke whatever they wanted to speak. So is everyone that speaks for the Lord qualified to speak for the Lord? And the answer to that is pretty simple. No, they are not. God neither sent them, nor did they seek God's counsel when they were speaking. And my friend, that is a very dangerous place to be. In verse number 2, God says that he will attend to those whose shepherds who have scattered the flock with their evil deeds. And here's the justice. There's got to be a penalty for doing the wrong thing. Jeremiah 23:19-20. Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. What's the Lord's promise to those who do evil, who are the shepherds, who are not shepherding? In wrath. Do we remember that word last week from Romans chapter 1, verse 18? It says this, the what of God is being revealed from heaven. The what? The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. It's happening today. It was happening back then. So, did these false prophets, these false shepherds and Israelites believe that they would escape the wrath of God? Did they believe that they would escape the wrath of God? Of course they believed they would escape the wrath of God. People love doing evil in the sight of the Lord. But God's plan and God's purpose, I assure you, my friends, will occur. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. Folks, there comes a time when God reaches his breaking point, and that is not a good thing or a good place to be. And God has now reached his breaking point with these false prophets and with these disobedient Israelites. Those who call themselves, we are God's people. We are children of Abraham. But remember, not all Israel is Israel. And God starts off this chapter by saying this, woe to those shepherds. Folks, we read biblical history, and we know what happens after this. That's why you don't want to erase history. Okay? You don't want to erase history. We learn from history, don't we? People did good things. Some people did bad things. And we learn from history. Let's learn what happens here. After this, the wrath of God comes in the form of exile. The southern kingdom of Judah, consisting of the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, they are exiled in 586 BC to Babylon. When false prophets lead a people down a path of destruction, the wrath of God is not far off. So I will just leave you with one verse from the New Testament here this morning. And I have it in real big letters so we can really understand what it says. Hebrews 10:31. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This verse speaks for itself. Next week, we're going to use what we learned today about how God dealt with the leaders, the prophets, the shepherds, and the people. And we're going to make some biblical comparisons to what's happening within the church today. The only problem that I'm going to have is how do I keep that under 30 minutes? Because there is enough to talk about for the rest of this year. I'll just be honest with you. Some of these people that are in churches have no business being leaders of churches. So get me started. I'll be here for the next 30 minutes again. Come back next week. We'll learn more about what's happening in the church as if we don't already know. Let's have a word of prayer.